And I guess it sort of brings us to another topic we had in mind is that in general, as we said, in general in the US, or that might be too much of a generalization, but anyway, where I lived in the US, there are places that recycle furniture, building materials, and such. And recycling furniture, I guess I've seen it in Japan too. There are secondhand shops and such. Not so much building materials, things like, and people, I mean, people do come in and buy all those. A lot of things like kitchen cabinets and bathroom doors and stuff like that. Is it common? How common is it in the US, in the Champaign-Urbana area, when people are renovating or building new houses, and they come in and look for recycled materials, or I guess they probably do it for two probably different reasons, recycled or antique vintage things. But how common is it for people to turn to those materials when they're renovating or building a house?
I would say it forms a fairly small portion of the supply chain in terms of what kinds of things people use. We have any number of what are euphemistically known as big box stores, like Home Depot and Lowe's and Menards and these places. And they're sort of the ultimate DIY headquarters. And the fact that even a town the size of Champaign will have all three of those places, one each of those places. So people primarily utilize new materials for their home fix-it jobs. But virtually every larger city will have some sort of salvage yard. Like Paco, only generally much larger and for-profit businesses. So they specialize, they're kind of borderline antique stores or vintage stores, if you will. And they straddle that space between being, you're going there looking for antiques or at older things. And maybe you also are looking for bits and pieces of salvage material. Lots of places have what might be called a junk shop, which is sort of across, sort of on the vintage side on down to just, stuff. And it's usually on the edge of town, and it's usually pretty messy, and that's where people go to get their bits and pieces. So it is not uncommon for there to be places like that. It's a little unusual what we do because we are in the space in between a junk shop and a bigger salvage yard. We're kind of right in between there. And I say that because we have a lot of junky things in there. We'll take things that are broken or just parts of things that have no function on their own because we know people use things like that. But to the casual observer, if you walk in, you might go, "That's a lot of junk here. This looks like somebody's garbage." So it just really depends on your definition of those things. But yeah, so a lot of places have some version of this. That they do. We just are in a good situation because we own our building. We bought that early on in the organization's history. And so we don't pay property tax because we're a nonprofit. So basically, except for power bills, it's free. Hmm. And we get everything for free. So we don't have to work very hard to make enough money to get by with. And not a lot of places have that luxury. So it's a lot harder for them to get by. But I think if more places were in that situation, there would be more places like this, if that makes any sense.
Hmm. I see.
In this So the people go to the house that is torn down, but it's a reuse of the door. It could reuse for the other persons, and the desk and the bed is could use for the bathtub. Also could use for such kind. You correct. Interesting. The lesson says the last time the lesson says, but you go to the house who is torn down like that and find the desk, and he said that if you know the background of the desk, the people who used the furniture, there's more attachment to the goods, to the materials. Mm-hmm. And so it is not he made by himself, but some attachment. So that's also savage is a good educational, what you said, educational activity for people to find the background mm-hmm. of materials, buildings. Not only to keep, not only preserve, conserve, but to collect such kind of reusable materials from the old house that mm-hmm. could make people's attachment to the building, to the house, to the history. So salvage not only to pick up the usable things, but I think the more volunteers come and involved in the activity, that's also the process of your educational mm-hmm. activity, I think.
Yeah. I actually learned more about how to build things from taking things apart than I did from trial and error or reading books or anything else, because you actually can see how it's constructed and you can see, oh, this is nailed in this direction, or this mm-hmm. is turned in this way, and that's how it's supporting that thing, and that's what makes it so strong. This is like impossible to take apart mm-hmm. unless you do this or cut that or whatever. And so I learned an enormous amount about how to make things from unmaking things. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's an educational process as well, as you say, as well as getting an understanding of history. You also get a sense of how things were done in the past, an appreciation for how strong people used to be, because they used to saw these things by hand and nail them by hand. And if you've done either of those things for any length of time, you will really appreciate somebody that does that all day long. So it's pretty impressive. And you get a sense also of, just on a social family life level, how people used houses by going into old houses and really poking around. Not like visiting your friends and sitting there and having tea in one room and admiring their curtains, but really like looking at all the different spaces in the attic, in the basement, in the closets, and you know, all those things. And you get a sense of how these places were used, and that you can really get a feeling mm-hmm. for the people that lived there and how they lived there and what their lives were like from being in their spaces like that.
Yeah. So what you said, unmaking is a very creative way. That for me, it is very, very impressive about Savage. Mm-hmm. I never imagined unmaking is creative. So that's a good way to learn DIY. All
right.
Yeah. はい、トムさんの今日のトークの二つ目ですけども、先週から聞いてくださっている方は、パカというのが古い建物とかの保全運動という話だったのが、今日のサベージはちょっと逆っていうか、 あれですね、あの解体する解体される建物から使えるものを救い出して、リユースする、そういう仕組みを作るということなのかな。ルタさん、もう少し詳しく、今回、このパーツでトムさん説明していましたけど、どういうふうに説明されてました？
そうですね、まあ、ここで聞いてるのは、あのまず最初はそのそういうリユースとか、まあ、あのパカがサルベージしてくるものっていうのは、あのすぐ使えるあの家具とかにとは限らなくて、うん、あのさらに加工が必要な建材とか、あの、うん、修理が必要なものとか、そういったものが、含まれるので、まあ、そういうことをするのって一般的なのかっていうところから始まってるんですけど、うん、まあ、あのアメリカでも、まあ、一般的とは言えなくて、そのやっぱり新品のものを売ってるあのホームセンター的なものがいっぱい、アメリカは特にあの郊外にはいっぱいあるので、そういうところで新品 の新しいものを買って使うのが普通だけど、でも大体の街にはあのジャンクヤードとかセカンドハンドのそういうあの廃材みたいなのを集めたお店もあるよっていうところで、で、まあ、そういうところは大体ビジネスとしてやってるんですけれども、パッカはその一応再利用再使用っていうのを目的としてやってるところなので、まあ、あのビジネスとして、やってて、本当になんかこう廃材的なものを扱ってるところとも違うし、まあ、あのアンティークショップみたいなすぐ使えるものを売ってるとことも違う感じかなという、まあ、話でした。で、あのなんで、まあ、あの回収してくる時にはあの使えそうなものは割と何でも持ってくるっていうことで、あの、まあ、質問としてはそのなんかこう基準みたいなのあるのってことを聞いてるんですけど、まあ、あの歴史的な価値のあるものとかそういうのももちろんあるけど、あとはあのとか、あのすぐに使えそうなものっていうのはそのハビタットフォーヒューマニティとかに寄付したりすることもあるけど、まあ、そうじゃなくて割といろいろ持ってくる。で、あのそういうのを解体とかをするときに、そういった作業を通じていろいろ学ぶことも多くて、その建物の歴史、建物がどういうふうに使われてたかっていうことも知ることができるし、そうじゃなくて昔の建築の方法とかも知ることができるし、昔の人がどんだけこう全部 手作業でやっててすごかったのかみたいなことを知ることができるし、その価値のある活動なんだよっていうことを、トムさんが言ってました。
そうですね、あのそのまますぐ使えるものじゃなくて建物のパーツなので、それをどう使うかは今度は必要とする人によって違うし、その解体現場とかを見ることによって学ぶ、作り方を学ぶっていう、それはちょっと矛盾しているかもしれないけど、そういう教育のプロセスでもあるし、その学んだことを今度誰かに伝える、その回収したものをまた売りながら、こういうふうに使うんだよとか、こういう可能性もあるよとか、あるいは修理を持ってきはずときに、そういう情報交換をする、そういう学び合いのプロセスが差別でもあるっていう、ちょっと難しいことなんですけど、そういう話を、こう、あの、またその次にも続けますけど、あの、しています。日本にないですよね、差別。あんまり聞かないですね。
まあ、あまりこう、活動、あの、まあ、あの、もちろん、あの、廃材を回収する活動っていうのはあると思いますけど、うん、それをリユースするっていうところがあんまりないですよね、
うん、そういう仕組みを作るっていうことで、こういう差別も含めて、あのリユースも含めて DIY っていう、そういうカルチャーがアメリカでどういうふうにこう育ってたりするのかっていう、そこでから見えてくることを次に話しています。で、続けて聞いてみたいと思います。どうぞ。